You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kahn Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you watch it on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. Have analysis of every free agent signing for the Commanders, for the rest of the NFL on ESPN.com. Go check it out. Lots of good work, lots of analysis going on to find out not just about the Commanders, but about a lot of the other moves in the league that affect what Washington do, especially in the division. So go check it out. Well, it is the first day of legal tampering and it's later Monday night. So I think I'm safe taping this. I have to admit, I taped this earlier, wanting to get this out for you earlier. And then they went and agreed to a deal with the fourth person today. So it's been a busy day for Washington agreeing to deals. I would not call any of these monster signings. I think a couple of them are really good. And I think three of them are really good. One, I'm curious to see what happens. And that's with Austin Ekeler. And I'll get to that in a minute. But anyways, a couple of things that they've done. First of all, this is like a reunion tour. And anytime anybody comes in from another place, they're always going to go back to guys they know. So the guys that Washington have either signed or agreed to deal so far are all people who have connections to this coaching staff. Zach Ertz last week, obviously with Cliff Kingsbury. And then now today you have a couple guys, two guys from Dallas, obviously Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, another guy from the Chargers who Ekeler played for Anthony Lynn, and then Frankie Louvu, who did not play for any of these guys. So that's the one guy coming from the outside for sure. And he's probably the best of the bunch. The other thing is, too, what Washington clearly wanted to do is strengthen the middle. And that's where you go and get Frankie Louvu. You go and get Tyler Biadasz to play center. And that's an area where they really wanted to strengthen. So at the trade deadline, when they traded Chase Young and Montez Sweat, one of the things I heard was how just looking at the analytics and how you look at the analytics and what it tells you in the NFL is the teams are strong up the middle typically win. That's where you want to be, right? So that's partly why they went out and made those moves so they could afford to do some things in the interior and free up some money, although they had been okay. Anyway, now another story. But they did get stronger in the middle because with Biadasz strengthens a better center than what they've had in a couple of years. And then Frankie Louvu is going to be a better linebacker than they've had in a couple of years as well. Still need more work, still need to solidify quarterback, whether it's, however they do it. Clearly, with the number two pick, you would anticipate it being through the draft. And then also, I think settling on the safety position, because again, as I've told you, Quinn likes to play three safeties. So whether that's Cam Curl coming back, and I have not heard anything more on that today. It's been kind of quiet from my end, not necessarily from theirs, but I know that there was some dialogue, but I wouldn't call it like this great consistent dialogue with the team going into this. But regardless, they need to solidify that position because they do have two young guys, Quan Martin and Derek Forrest, who can play. I think the jury's out as to whether Percy Butler can be a starter or just a good backup in this league and backup special teamer. So I would recommend getting another veteran to come in here to pair with those guys to solidify it. Anyways, that there's still a lot of time for that. But what they did on Monday was help themselves. So let's go down over the guys they signed or, excuse me, agreed to. They have to say agreed to because they can't sign until Wednesday after 4 o'clock when the league year begins. And as you know, J.D. McKissic, there are sometimes guys change their minds. But these are the guys who have agreed to deals with Washington. Let's start with Tyler Biadasz. center from Dallas. And I'm going to go over what these guys add and how it helps Washington. So signed a 3-year deal and it's worth up to $30 million. Again, with all these contracts, understand the devil is in the details. So you hear these numbers and these numbers are usually designed for the agents to get a win. So when you hear a 3 years, 30, it sounds 10 per year. That's good. But let's see what it really is when we look inside the numbers to see what's the true value of it. Because if you can be cut after a couple of years and it's not going to hurt them, then the real deal is like 2 years and whatever. So let's see what it is first, because I think 10 per year to me would be a little bit surprising. However, he is a solid veteran center, and he made the Pro Bowl in 2022. Again, considered smart. I would not call him a road grader in the run game, but he is a smart player. And I want to read you something that another coach texted me about him. And I think, you know, that just to me, somebody who I greatly respect. And let me see where it is on my cell phone. I have to go scroll further down than I had before. But so here it is. Just this person considered him a really good player, smart, tough, consistent, quick, closes space on both levels. He can get to that second level. And he felt like this person felt like in the pass protection that he did a good job using his eyes in the hole, and that helped with picking up stunts and blitzes, et cetera. So that's where he can help in the pass game. This guy felt like he had some good upside and he still hadn't hit his ceiling yet. So, you know, clearly Dallas was okay letting him go. They do have one guy, Brock Hoffman, on the roster. You know, you read things, you hear that maybe they like him. I don't know. They can always draft somebody. They've had done a pretty good job in the draft with players. Biotis has been durable, has only missed two games the last 2 years combined. But again, I think when you have the expectation with going with a rookie quarterback, I think it was very important to get in here a veteran center. And he's, you know, again, considered a good guy in the locker room too, and somebody who likes to talk ball. So I think like that's always a good thing. And I think the one thing that, despite the how the line was, I felt like they had pretty good chemistry. And I think that's important when you're trying to build something as you go forward. But again, the smart aspect is important because the rookie quarterback is going to need help with protection calls, everybody around him. Now you have an interior. You have Biotis, you have Cosme. I think they're in a better spot than they were. Now, I thought, you know, we didn't know last year with Nick Gates. You didn't know how he would respond off a knee injury, et cetera. And I know there were a lot of good intangibles that he offered. But we didn't know about the play. And then, you know, so I think when Chase Roullier was here, he was a solid center and smart as well. So, and you can do pretty well with guys like that. So that's one there. And then Dorrance Armstrong, the defensive end from Dallas, that was one that I think not just myself, but many people expected, because he's a guy that Dan Quinn has liked. So now he is in Washington. So, and his deal is 3 years. And it's really, I think the true value, you can see it's up to $45 million. It sounds like the real value is about $33 million. And again, devil in the details of the contract. So just, we'll see where it is when the contracts have to be signed and then filed to the league. And then that's when, you know, you will be able to see what the real value of it is. But I think can be a good starter for them. I think he's going to be a top half guy, or anything like that. But they just need a good, solid starter. You have a couple guys in the middle that you're going to build around. And again, you want, if you can get those linebackers to be more active, I think it can help everybody else. So in the past, they had to have those ends be much more dominant because you didn't have that ability at linebacker. I think by making the move, and I think what they might be able to do with Jamin Davis and where he's at in his development could help offset some of what they don't have at end, and with some of the pass rush game as well. So, but Armstrong gives you that. Now, this will be the first time he's going to be a full-time starter. He's been a backup, a very good, productive backup, but a backup. And so the only reason I bring that up is when you start to play more, how do you handle that? You're going to see a lot more things, but you also you have to make sure that you can be durable in those situations. And that's one thing Armstrong have to see, but the guy's been productive, 16 sacks combined the last 2 years. He can rush inside on obvious pass rush situations. You get third and long, third and real long, you can put him inside, create more of a speed rush. And I think that's something that can help. I need to go back and watch a lot of film of him, of all these guys, but these are just the initial impressions. I did talk to someone who was coached against him and felt like he was he had a lot of good quickness, felt like he was more consistent player than what Washington has at some of the backups now, like a James Smith Williams. So, but again, this guy's going to come here. You're paying him here to start. And I think that's something, but they needed that and they need to find more ends. You're not done at end because you don't have anybody else opposite on the other side now who can become a starter for you. So you're going to have to find another end with a free agency or the draft. And I wouldn't be surprised if you still bring back either a Casey Tuhill or Smith Williams, because you need to still add guys. Then you also have KJ Henry and Andre Jones. I would still look at Jones as a developmental guy. And I think Henry still would be behind where those other guys are, but at least he showed a little bit more consistency than Jones did. I think where is the ceiling? And that's what they have to determine. But I do think that, again, Armstrong is a good, solid signing, a necessary signing, and you go from there.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground? Give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kime. Now, they also had shown another Dallas guy they showed interest in was cornerback Jordan Lewis, slot corner. That was earlier in the day. I'd heard that they definitely had shown some interest, but nothing has materialized in that way as of this taping. And so I don't know that anything's going to happen there. They clearly need a corner. They had shown some interest, and I think I told you the other day, on Isaiah Oliver, who signed with the Jets. So they clearly have a need to get somebody there. So it wouldn't surprise me if they still bring in Lewis, because he's still out there. And again, he can play the slot for them. But the other guy that I think is going to be a good one here too is Frankie Louvu. And Matt Miller, who's a draft analyst for ESPN, said it well. And I think I would agree. that with Dan Quinn, you need to have someone who can help start to provide some identity at linebacker. And I think this guy can do that. And I like where Jamin Davis is at with things. I thought he played better last year. And I think you can get this pairing here. And with Dan Quinn, I think with the way they can use him and get him to play a little bit more freely, I think this could be a better situation with them. And one of the things that you'd hear, you talk to people with this coaching staff about linebackers is the blitzing. And I think, like, can Jamin Davis be an effective blitzer? And he showed some rush potential. I've told you before that they did move him around last year. It wasn't like he was always in the middle, played him on the edge at time, et cetera. But there, I think he's going to have to be more effective in that role. And I think Luvu offers that as well. He can blitz. He had 7 sacks last year. He was a guy that Carolina wanted to keep and could not. And that was a good defense in Carolina last year, a really good defense. So it's not like, you know, the team stunk, but the defense was really good. High energy guy, became a team captain this year and started calling the plays. I'm gonna back up a second. So he came to Carolina. He was more of a special teams guy, did really well his first year there, elevated to become a starter in 22. And has had two really good years as a starting linebacker. 2 years ago, he had 19 tackles for loss, second most in franchise history. Last year, he had 10. So that's a good sign for him. But again, playing moving forward, it sounds like he can cover two as well. One of the things that, and I like when guys work their way up like that. I just think, you know, it creates a mindset when you have guys that have worked their way like that. And I think that's something that I think he will bring. Again, high energy guy. Also, one of the things he did last year, he'd go in with Shaq Thompson, but those two would watch film on Tuesdays, the day off, watch film with the safeties. And it's important because, first of all, I think because those groups have to work in conjunction and they don't always watch the film together. And it's because that's an above and beyond type situation. But when you start doing that, you create better communication with the front and the back. And you have the backers going to see things and they need to know how to relay it and what you're seeing and what they're seeing. The more you can line up with that stuff, the better off you are. And so I like that he did that. Whether or not that continues here, I don't know. But I think it's a good thing to do because I think it gets people on that quote-unquote same page, which hasn't always happened here in the past. But that's an individual thing. That's not something a coach can go demand that you do. I think that's something individuals have to want to do. And you can encourage it, but you can't make them do that. But you can. But once you get that, it leads to a more productive defense. So I think he was a good one to get. You know, like I said, Carolina was a team that Carolina wanted him back. And I forgot to tell you his deal, the financials on all that. And give me a minute because I gotta check that out. His deal. Oh boy. Let me find those numbers for you. Okay, it's a 3-year deal worth up to $36 million. So again, let's see how it breaks down. But that's a good payday for Frankie Luvu. But let's see how it breaks down. But again, I think this is a really good one because they have needed to solidify that spot for a while. And you know that, and I know that. And they did, you know, they had two linebackers running this defense in Del Rio and then obviously Rivera. And that was not something they could ever get quite right. They did draft Jamin Davis in the first round. My concern with him was always that it was going to take him a few years to ascend to where he needed to get to. And that's kind of what happened anyways, but you may be in a good spot now where you're bringing in this guy who can play and pairing him with the guy who maybe is at a better point in his career to do even more and going into a year where whether or not they pick up his fifth year option or not. So one way or another, you know, it could be a free agent year, but it could be playing for whatever. So anyway, I think it could be a good situation finally, but they still need more depth there. And, you know, Luvu played the mic again. He wore the green dot for part of the, you know, at least for part of the year. And, you know, so, but I like this. I like that one. I do like that one. And finally, there's Austin Eckler coming over from the Chargers. His deal is 2 years worth up to $11.43 million, $3 million signing bonus. So this is an interesting one because there is, you know, you have some people I talk to wonder, what does he have left? How much explosiveness does he have left? Now you can look at his numbers, and of course, listen, he had 2 years where he scored 38 combined touchdown pass, excuse me, 38 combined touchdowns. Kind of hard to match that. So only had six last year, low career low 3.5 yards per carry. Now consider this though. He averaged 1.62 yards before first contact. That's also by far a career low. That speaks to problems with the offensive line. So, but Washington really needs him as a pass catcher. He has to be productive there. So this is where, you know, I think, again, there's some people who wonder, what does he have the same level of explosiveness? Then these are people who watched him every day. So that's why I wonder, like, where's he at with everything? Because if he can be productive as a third down back, he's going to help them quite a bit. But and so that's going to be the question. Now, the couple of things that I would wonder about too in his favor, first of all, Anthony Lynn coached him with the Chargers and knows him. And one of the things when Anthony Lynn was interviewing here for that offensive coordinator's job, one of the things that I know that this staff liked and Ron Rivera liked, because I remember talking to him about it, was about how Lynn's plan to get guys in space. Now, we heard a lot about that with Bieniemy, and it certainly, I can tell you, they know it did pan out that way, but they liked Lynn's plan to help get guys in space. And so I think that's going to be something to watch with Eckler. Can they get him in the ball in space? And then when he's there, what does he do with it? Because if he does, he can be productive. And again, it could be a very good signing, you know, and that's what they need for it to happen. And then you also have Cliff Kingsbury. Could he be a really good fit in this offense? Again, versatile back. They do not need him to be the primary back, and that's a good thing. I don't think that's not what you want from him at this stage of his career. So you have Brian Robinson to take off first, and you know, the rundown pressure, and Robinson can catch the ball now. And so can Chris Rodriguez. I think both those guys might be a little bit undervalued by the, I wonder if where the staff, what the staff thinks of them in that role, because I think they can both do it. But you don't need Eckler to be a between the tackles guy or anything like that. You have those two guys who can handle that role, which should free up Eckler to be more of your third down pass catching back. That's the role I think that could fit him well. And if they use him that way, if they can use him right, and if they feel like they know how to use him, and again, Lynn had him, but this was several years ago now. And then, but again, the fit in Kingsbury's offense, if you can create that space for him, get on the ball out there, I think you're going to need to still get some more of the guys around him. Another receiver to go with McLaurin and Dotson. And, you know, and then you also have Zach Ertz. But I do think, so I think this is an interesting one. Where is he at in his career? Because if he still has something left, he can help. And I think we're going to find out. But I think this is a signing that certainly is one of familiarity because of Lynn, and then one of fit with this offense. That's where they have to hope this pays off, because they do need what he can provide. And if he can provide that, then this is a really good signing, and he'll make more money because he's got some incentives in that deal. And that's where he can cash in too. So there you go. That's it for me. That's the wrap of the first day of the legal tampering period. If anything else happens Monday night, I'll be back probably Tuesday morning or so to fill you in if it's something big. If not, I'll just give you another wrap up Tuesday evening. And then we'll do a live show Wednesday night. I think it's going to be like 8 o'clock or so Eastern time. But I'll let you know for sure tomorrow night. So anyway, talk to you next time.